The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this is episode 363 of the Colombia Calling podcast. Great episodes so far this year, I know you'll agree, the most popular of which has been, well, undoubtedly, the conversation with my wife, Alba, in the episode entitled, How Does She Put Up With Me? So for those of you as thinking of embarking on, let's say, an intercultural relationship or bicultural relationship, tune into that one to hear a little bit from the other side of the story. So that was very popular indeed. Last week's with Tom Gatehouse from the Latin America Bureau about mining in South America and in Colombia in particular was very popular too. But I think this week's, due to its humor and of course controversy, will be even more popular. And we'll be talking to Eddie White Jr., who's the artist who made the front pages here, made the national press in Colombia for his depictions, which were observations of women in Medellin. So we're depending on where you stand and what you think about these things, but also I think if you take it into context with the rest of his artwork and see that how much comes through of his love for Colombia. So of course, take it into context, but it's a very interesting conversation, jovial, a good back and forth that flows. And I think, you know, he explains himself very well. And at the same time, the people who've supported him, the people who've begun to follow him and, of course, be more outspoken in agreement with his artwork and seeing the humor in it, have been Colombians living abroad and perhaps yearning for their home country once again. We'll be taking a little break, but coming back with the final segment because Emily Hart will be taking a break this week. She's got other commitments on, and of course, you know, we've got to be flexible in these things. There'll be, unfortunately, no news segment this week, but I hope that she'll be back next week. And of course, a huge thank you to those of you who signed up to the Patreon campaign and are helping maintain the Columbia Calling podcast. And also, I did note a few of my listeners there: Diana Valencia, Adam Nunn. Others, I know there are others, and I don't want to forget your names, signed up to listen to my chat on the panel on which I was invited at Canning House in the UK. And I was talking about the forgotten history of Jack Greenwell here in Colombia. Jack Greenwell, the football coach, perhaps one of the most successful international football coaches, certainly of his time, but of course, who fell into obscurity due to the nature of his demise here in Bogota back in, I want to say 1942. Anyway, that went very, very well with Canning House, and I'll be doing some more webinars in the future, one organized with Bristol University and another one as yet to be announced. But anyway, I hope that you can continue to tune in and help us. And well, of course, it's all support, isn't it? Anyway, thank you very much. We'll be back in the next segment with Eddie White Jr. We'll be talking about his artwork. Check it out on Instagram. Just look up Eddie, E-D-D-I-E, White, as in the color, J-R, Eddie White Jr. And, of course, you'll see lots of examples of his work there. Anyway, thank you again, and don't go away.
Ah.
And we're back. This is segment three of episode 363 of the Columbia Calling podcast. And my guest this week, as I've been advertising and promoting, is the artist Eddie White Jr. He's from Australia and he arrived in 2020, but he's made a name for himself with the caricatures that he's been doing of Colombian, well, I would say individuals, elements of society, but most recently, maps of each department and cities, which look a bit like sort of, I would say, fugly dolls pushed together, you know, in kind of monster type drawings. But it's really quite amusing and it's really quite comfortable. And you've got a huge following here in Colombia. So I'd like to take this moment to say thank you so much for agreeing to be on the podcast, Eddie.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me on. As they say, long time listener, first time caller.
Very good. Well, no, again, flattery is great. I love that someone listens to the podcast. And, you know, I mean, at least I'm not just a voice in
the yeah, exactly.
In a garage somewhere. But hey, I mean, you arrived in 2020. Let's wind back. Why did you choose Colombia for your, I mean, because it's, I guess it's for artistic inspiration.
Well, yeah, I'd been here the first time in 2017. I visited Colombia then. My best friend, well, he wasn't my best friend until I came here. Sort of, we'd been longtime friends, but we hadn't seen each other for years and years. We met at an animation film festival in Croatia, in Zagreb, in 2006. And so we're both illustrators, animation, filmmakers, and that kind of thing. So we formed this friendship, but I didn't see him until, 2017 I came over. And finally, you know, my first trip to Latin America, which was exciting. And I knew because I always got along with Colombians that I met elsewhere. I always had this instant connection with them, which I didn't really know why. And I thought maybe they're all really nice. And then I came here and it just felt like, oh, this is the kind of place that I really could spend more time. And back then I had to come back to Australia. So I only spent 3 weeks the first time. I went to Bogota and Cartagena, but then I came back. 2020 was my sort of second trip here, and I was on a one-way ticket, and it was with the aim of staying long-term in Latin America. I wasn't sure about whether it was going to be Colombia or Argentina at that stage, but the lockdown kind of decided that for me, and I've been here ever since.
And are you a trained artist from Australia? In Australia?
I didn't train in drawing. No, I actually was sort of a self-taught thing that I was born with in a way. Like, I'd just been drawing ever since I was a little kid. I studied acting at university, and also did animation filmmaking at the same time. So I guess I've got a few interests that have all kind of collided, and they've sort of usually converged in filmmaking or that kind of thing. So.
I'd say that there's definite overlap and cross-cut.
Definitely.
I mean, you know, it's the creative industries and so on. And
yeah. And even with Instagram and artists, it's like you are a character. You know what I mean? You're not 100% yourself. There's an element of some exaggeration at points. There's some points where you're 100% authentic, but generally it's very, very much me. But I like the idea that there's almost a persona that goes along with the art, which. I think most artists that I love had that in some way. So I've sort of taken some little tips from people here and there.
Okay. And I mean, before we get into it, how would you describe your art, the stuff that you're putting out on your Instagram at the moment and so on?
Yeah, it's interesting because until someone else describes it, you usually don't sit down and think, I'm going to draw in this particular style. You just draw and that's your style. I think it's closer to pop art than anything. I mean, it's very much simple, kind of like the A to Z of Colombia stuff that I did was very much like quite, I think the simplicity is what makes that work, you know? And then obviously the other stuff I do is more kind of sensual, cheeky. I think I like to make stuff that's got some, that makes someone feel something or, you know, or they feel hungry or they feel turned on or whatever it is. I just think that there's got to be some reason why you're doing that drawing, not just a pretty picture. So I like to have a bit of bit of spice in them in some way or shape or another. And you know,
spice is one thing. We can get into this later, but there's certainly some risque, drawing in there. Would take me back to the kind of sort of Victorian era. No, not Victorian. Yeah, Victorian era postcards from the seaside. Later than that, I would say up into the 1950s, 60s, like, you know, where a
sort of naughty kind of, that's what you'd say in Australia.
The wind might be lifting up a dress.
A skirt. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, I think I've always had that cheeky part of my personality. And I think in Australia, obviously we're British heritage, so there's probably that influence. But also Australians in general don't really get my stuff. Like I do have some Australian fans, but they find my sexual stuff not to their taste. You know, Australian men don't particularly like the sexual drawings. Some Australian women do, but other Australian women don't. So it's very, very interesting culturally to see how it impacts in different countries. But Colombians love it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, more than anyone else in the world, they love the more sexy, the more naughty the drawings are, the more Colombians follow me, like, comment, share. Yeah, and it's Colombian women. It's not Colombian men. Yeah.
Whenever she danced, her hips moved like melting caramel. I mean, is that about Colombian lady dancing?
It was inspired by I saw someone in my Insta story and she was dancing and her hips looked like caramel, and I thought so I get inspired by a lot of things that I see and hear, and not always Colombian, like not all of my sexual drawings are necessarily about Colombian. I think some people made that assumption because I'm drawing them while I'm here, but I was drawing them before I came to Colombia but I think it's essential country in one way, and then a really conservative country in another way, which makes it a really interesting country to engage with.
Interesting on that level, because it is, you know, like sort of mannerisms. It's very conservative here. I mean,
on the outside. Yeah.
And people, how they're educated, how they behave, unless you're family, because everybody knows it. But it's very conservative in that respect. But then you notice again, you like say, there's the Latin sensuality beyond that. And
yeah.
What's the end game though? I mean, you did the A to Z, which is really cool. It's like a dictionary of Colombian, I would say, exuberance and exoticism and so on. And now these maps, and here's the map of Colombia. I'll just hold it up again. It's high technology here, by the way. Here's the map of Colombia. It's really fun. And you've got it, like, there's a sort of prehistoric fish in there and so on. What's the end game? I mean, is there going to be a book of prints are you selling?
Yeah, I mean, I'm about to launch some T-shirts and coffee mugs. That'll be the first dipping my toe into the water to see how they go. I'd love to make a book. I've spoken to a few publishers here, but either the meetings didn't happen or the talks didn't necessarily progress. But I would love to make a book. But I just think I try and live very much in the present with it. And I know that as I explore the country and explore the culture more and more, there'll be more and more inspiration that I get in all kinds of ways, whether it's food or expressions or geography or music, dance, women, sex, whatever it is. I think that I like exploring all of those aspects. And some people say to me, oh, why don't you draw about politics? And I thought, well, it's because it doesn't have that same deliciousness, you know. Politics isn't, it's fascinating and it's all of those things, but I'm not into making political memes and that kind of stuff. It's just not my particular interest. So, and I'm not Colombian, so I don't really feel like, I've only been here a year, I'm not going to really comment on Colombian politics deeply, you know.
Not yet. You stay here much
longer. Until I've been here as long as you.
You have a business visa now, and so
exactly.
You'll be paying taxes. You'll want to start commenting.
Yeah, but I also don't want them to kick me out. So.
This is true. It was the National Day or International Day of the Journalist the other day, and I guess you got to be careful.
You do. You do.
Now, you arrived 2020 right before the pandemic kicked in. So you've had plenty of time to be studying and drawing. And you spent it all there in Cartagena under lockdown.
Yeah.
I mean, you got here. It was really weird because in February, I mean, we still thought of South America as an island distant from, you know, what was being discussed as something that was so far away and wouldn't get here. But in my view, in my personal opinion, the virus was here from December, but in small parts.
Absolutely.
Because of Colombians coming home for Christmas. And I got
from Europe.
Yeah, I got it in March.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, I got it in March after the big tourism fair here because there were 40,000 people from all over the world.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know it was COVID because no one was talking about it. I was just bedridden for 3 days.
Yeah.
Really bedridden. Didn't have any pressure on my lungs or anything like that. But I couldn't get out of bed. I mean, it was just like a fever that wouldn't go away. And what happened after that is that I wasn't lucid for the next few months. I mean, I was much slower in getting.
So it was definitely COVID.
And then I did a test later on. I mean, several months later, and they went, "Yeah,
we
can see that you've had it." So I was like, "Well, that's that." I mean, how is this? I would say you haven't had it, obviously, but how has it affected your drawing and the way that you've established how you want to work here? Or does it just mean you've been, you know, in the grind, working away in isolation?
Yeah, well, no, it really affected everything. I mean, it affected everything as far as it kept me in Cartagena, which. In lockdown by myself. And I guess in that sense, it forced me to explore Colombia virtually rather than physically, because obviously I would have planned to go everywhere. But, and I think it's a pretty nice city to be able to do that with the beautiful sunsets and you wake up every morning and you hear the birds singing in that city and you feel good. It's just a city where you feel good.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel depressed or lonely. I just felt, creatively alive. And I think that I started doing these Instagram lives and I started doing them almost every night. I was doing them because it was my social time, you know. And I was meeting and talking with mostly young Colombians from all over the country and also other Latin American countries. And we would talk about everything from, culture and relationships and sex and religion and everything we talked about. So I was mining these kind of followers for all of this amazing information. And then a lot of them became my friends and a lot of them inspired drawings as well. So I guess in that way, COVID forced everyone to be inside and we were communicating with each other. And I'm also making an animated short film, which the storyline is also about a virus that stops a little girl from being able to go to the beach. So she invites the beach to come to her and all the creatures kind of come on land. And yeah, so it's definitely influenced lots of elements of what I've done here.
That's cool. That's cool. I just want to go back to the idea of a book. The publishers here won't want to pay you anything. I mean, that's the thing.
Is that right?
Yeah, they won't want to pay you anything. Or say, you know, not even 10% on each sale. I would suggest going down to the Barrio Ricaurte in Bogota, and that's where you can get all coffee mugs made and hats and books printouts and stuff.
Just get self-publish.
Yeah, and you know, when we are allowed back in special events, there are some of us who always set up sort of things, you know, I haven't done it in a while, but we had I helped edit a book and wrote a couple of stories for it
years ago.
And we self-published and actually did quite well. And get a few hundred people turn up and you'd sell to about 75.
Well, that's what I mean, yeah. And people have been asking for the book. People are like, where can I buy the A to Z of Colombia? And I'd love to be able to sell it. Obviously, there's some legal. Yeah, exactly. And there's some legal things with using brands and stuff like that, you know, having C for Chocorramo and having P for Postobon and stuff. Like, can you use the logo or can I get those companies involved and sponsorship or something like that? So there's a few things that have to be explored there that I think is simpler than the maps, for example. The good thing about the maps is I can just go straight ahead and put them on t-shirts, put them on mugs, put them on anything, because I own the rights to, I don't own the rights to geography, but
but you know, Ricaurte, it's actually quite a fun, how in Bogota there are districts that sort of just specialize in one thing. You can go down to near to the Quinta Mutis in the 7 Agosto. So just when you leave the 7 Agosto and it's all, you know, car repair stuff and all, you know, stolen goods.
And then
you head across the way and it's all sort of 1980s leather jacket emporiums. I mean, it's hilarious.
Oh. So what's the area that's all the, like, I went to Unilago, which was like the electrical
place. Yeah, and you get everything. Place. Yeah.
That's cool. Because we don't have that in my city, in Australia, and in particularly in my city in Adelaide, we don't have obviously the population like this. So I think where you've got a city like of 8 million people and you need to get, they needed to get the stuff in certain areas. I think it's really cool. Like Paris is like that too, isn't it? Paris has got the area where you get the flowers and the areas where you get the dogs and the areas where you get the fruit. Whatever it is.
I like the idea of going to the, you know, there's an area that only sells overalls.
Here.
And they're all like referred to as like the Palacio de los Overoles. And then where I've seen 4 or 5 shops in a row that sell sort of the paper guillotines, you know? It's
in Bogota.
Bogota. It's not far from the Macarena, if I'm not mistaken. And then.
Right. So and there's fun. One part that's all wooden things, isn't there? All wood carved wooden.
Yeah, and then if you go below things. The 30 and it's all, you know, that one section where they all sort of make the sofas and chairs. Yeah. A map of that. Would I think be.
That would be cool.
But it'd be so hard because there's so many things. But
so many, yeah.
You got time.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, we talked about, I mean, I know friends have talked about doing it, but in the sort of writing, you know, this area is this, but with the drawing, the illustration, I think it would be really fun. You know, the only area where you get your sort of stolen goods and the area where I don't know. It would be a really good thing to have. I think it would be much in the field of your
very much. Yeah, I'll definitely take note of that because I think I'm always. That's the thing. I feel like I'm a walking set of eyes and ears. I'm always I'm always soaking up whether it's songs or drawings or everything. Just goes into my head and then some comes out in some form.
You could go to one of the San Andresitos where it's all, you know, sort of laundering money, you know, all the stuff they sell. You just put a wad of bills, I think. But because I did my thesis down in near to this in one of the San Andresitos in Los Martires, you know, in a pretty down at hill part of old industrial part of Bogota, not far from the Bronx. And I used to park in this car park. And then one day they were knocking down the car park. And I said, what are they putting up here? And they went, oh, another Centro Comercial mall. And I was like, these aren't really malls because they've got those tiny sort of shops in there that seem to survive somehow on selling Chinese
phone covers.
And you're like, that's not an industry. And I went to the owner. I went, yeah, well, it's, you say Centro Comercial, I say Lavadero. And he went, you know how it is, don't you? I say, well, you know, I've been spending 6 months down in this area.
Right.
Every day you see it, you know.
So where they go to clean money is that's where.
Oh, well, it's been going for so long. It's just where things are. It's so easy. It's this gray area between legal and illegal Chinese goods and so on and so forth.
Fascinating. It's contraband. Fascinating. Yeah.
Problem is that, you know, I'm 6'2" and I don't look Colombian. So I stand out down there. Now let's get back to your art because it's, you know, who are your biggest fans for this art? Because I think, you know, when we talk about the podcast, I get a lot of people from the Colombian diaspora in the United States.
And
of course in Europe a little bit more, a little bit less, I mean. But I think your art makes people, let's say, yearn for Colombia.
Yeah.
More than people in Colombia itself.
Well, yes, but I mean, 56% of my followers are based here. So and then it's the USA, and probably most of the ones in the USA are Colombians who are living in the USA.
But
definitely most of my followers in Colombia, and 21% of those are in Bogota. So my biggest audience is, I would say, would be a woman between the ages of 18 and 25 in Bogota. That's my audience.
All right, fair enough. We have to move on to the controversy.
Yes.
We have to move on to this.
The polemic.
And it was Girls of Medellin.
Right? Yeah.
Girls of Medellin. And it made El Tiempo and Publimetro and everything else. What was it that offended people about this? Was it because it was too accurate?
Well, I mean, the funny thing is that I did drawings for the girls of Bogota when I first arrived. No, yeah, there was no controversy. They liked it. Bogotana, I did the girls of Cartagena. Yeah, girls of Cartagena. Yep, they loved it. They were sharing it and everything. And then I think I'd been in Medellin for like 3 or 4 days. I hadn't even been there a week. And I thought, well, I've definitely got to draw the girls of Medellin because girls were asking me, when are you going to draw the girls of Medellin? We want to see you draw us. And so I thought, okay, I've got to do this, but I want to get a good idea about what the, you know, and it's mainly younger women that I'm drawing. I'm not drawing women in their 50s or their 40s. It's what the trendsetters, you know, what are the girls wearing in the street? Like, what are the girls wearing in the shopping malls? So I went to Santa Fe shopping mall, you know, in Colorado, yeah, which is a really nice area. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm not going to see necessarily the working class kind of thing, but, you know, you, and so I got a really good cross section of what the girls were wearing and also in other areas. And I sort of made mental notes of them. Okay, so ripped jeans, a lot of like leg tattoos, a lot of straight long hair and that kind of stuff. And all this stuff, which I thought was really cool and really, you know, cool. Like, I had no problem with it and I wasn't making any judgment about it. And when I drew it, it was very much like, yeah, this is just a slice of what the girls in Medellin are wearing because the climate's different to Bogota, because the culture is different there, because the reggaeton is, you know, it's the home of reggaeton and that kind of stuff. And I put on Instagram and it was quite popular on Instagram. And then my downfall, no, well, I put it on Twitter, which was obviously, and that's where people go
that's
to.
Hate comes from.
And that's where hate is born. So I put it on Twitter, and then I think within a few hours, I was getting backlash from some members of you know, the community. And mainly there was some sort of, I guess, a feminist stance. I mean, look, the thing is, I've got a lot of feminist followers. I know that it wasn't all feminists, but there was a particular stance of feminists in Colombia that were in Medellin or wherever, saying that we don't look like this and that this is stereotyping and this is dangerous and this is and you're a sex tourist and you're a cocaine sniffer and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't engage. I thought, well, I'm none of these things that they're saying I am, so I'm not going to start having some war online. So I just sat back and watched it happen, and it just grew and grew and grew. And I got messages of hate, I got threats, I got you know, all kinds of comments on my page, and I was just blocking a lot of people. And then the funny thing happened when it hit the news, when it hit the El Tiempo, when it hit Caracol and those ones, that's when the opposite happened. I got this wave of support of Colombians going, yeah, keep doing what you're doing. This is all bullshit. You know, don't worry about it. This is Colombia. It's polar. It's a country of double morals. And they started telling me all this stuff about Colombia, which I didn't really ever think about, you know, and they were telling me all these words about morongos and all these different expressions, which I didn't know about when I came to Medellin. So I got 6,000 followers who suddenly saw my art and were like, oh, we really like his stuff. So I got even more Colombian followers from it. So it ended up being a positive thing. And it taught me that, because I'm very much like, I always want people to like my stuff, you know, like and if someone doesn't like it, I always think, oh, why don't they like it? Then I realize, wow, yeah, I think to be an artist means that you will be hated by particular people.
Well, look at it. There's 450-something comments on this one here, and you've got
like, yeah,
depravado sexual, and then you've got someone, I don't see anything bad about this. You've
drawn Realidad.
But this is interesting because, you know, I mean, people are saying I don't fit into this. Of course, some people aren't going to fit into this, and others, Colombians, are saying, yeah, this is the perfect graphic representation. So you've got everything. But, you know, I work a lot in you know, the service industry, having hotels and so on, and little mm-hmm. ones. But it's the negative reviews that obviously I remember most, and the difficult the difficult guests who I remember most, rather than the positive
ones. The positive ones.
So yeah. I don't know. I mean,
the vocal minority.
Yeah. Have you got you know, grown thicker skin since this?
Definitely. I used to care about if something. Now I'm like, bring it on. You know what I mean? And I would never do something to cause controversy. I never would draw something to poke the bear or that kind of thing. I just do what I do. And I often consult people, you know, like, is this considered poor taste or whatever? I usually check with a few Colombians and then usually I get a good gauge and whether I draw it or not. And obviously it's personal taste, isn't it? Yeah. Some people just will think any drawing of sex is sexualized or hypersexualized, whereas other people will be like, that's so erotic. And so what I've realized is that I'm going to be drawing drawings for a particular kind of people in general. And if the people don't like it, they don't like it. That's good, you know. Yeah,
so be it. Now, and I saw mentions there, when are you going to do Bucaramanga? When are you going to do Ibagué?
Yeah, everyone's asking.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
This is, like I said, increased your visibility, I'm sure increased your work. You know, it's publicity for an artist. El Tiempo, Publimetro, Caracol. Did they even interview you or they just picked it up and just ran with it? Yeah.
Yeah, I was a bit, that's what annoyed me a bit was that the first couple of, including El Tiempo and these, you know, very reputable news, they didn't even reach out for a comment or a explanation. It was just, this is what's happening. And then I think what Colombians kind of, I think what the sense I get is that Colombians don't like being told what to think. So the minute the news says this is controversial, they go, really? You know, there's massacres in this country. There is all this sort of stuff happening. Like, are we really worried about a drawing that's probably like actually real? So that's what I've discovered is that when it hit the news, that's when I got the support. But when I was just on Twitter, that's when I was getting the hate. And the support drowned out the hate.
I think it's an interesting point here about sort of this thing, massacres taking place, so et cetera. I think that a lot of the big media will love this sort of thing to generate controversy. And then, of course, it's great to then hide what's going on. Let's have the moral outrage of against something that, okay, it rubs a lot of people up the wrong way.
Yeah.
But within the context, you're not insulting anyone.
It was almost like a love letter to Paisas as opposed to me parodying or me having a go at them. I mean, if I'd had arrows saying, you know, silicon breast implants or, you know, plastic surgery, I would have understood that as being disrespectful. Yeah, I wouldn't have done that. Exactly. And even though there is... people in Colombia do know Medellin, obviously a degree of Medellin for that. But I was never going to do something like that, which is why I kept it pretty innocent. But I think that the news stations that did contact me, and because I did get interviewed for Noticias Red, I think it is.
Oh, okay, Red, yeah.
And Caracol, I think Caracol interviewed me later, which I really respected because they reached out and I said, look, you know, thank you so much, you know, because I love this country. I love the people of this country. I never wanted to sort of annoy anyone. But then I realized that, yeah, that's going to happen.
You know, I would put it in obviously high praise here, put it like Matador in El Tiempo and stuff, you know, the caricaturist. He really hits home hard and gets death threats and has to do things. But, you know, it's not out there to be consumed by everyone.
No.
You know, he's obviously pushing a political agenda. You're not.
But no.
At the same time, you're just saying it as it is.
Yeah, it's just an observation. It's my observation. Yes, I'm foreigner. Yes, I'm an Australian, but no, I'm not a sex tourist. No, I'm not a cocaine sniffer and all these. I'm not a misogynist and all these things that they were calling me. So,
you know, it's tough, isn't it, on this one? I was going to get, I actually had the confirmation for one of these sex tourists to come on the podcast. The guy who was managing like a sex tourism.
Oh, it was like a ring.
His name was Austin Summers.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Medellin and kicked out of Colombia, and rightly so.
But I had
him lined up for an interview, and I announced it that I was going to, because I was going to give him a really hard time. I mean,
yeah,
I have the ability to do so, hopefully, you know, in an intelligent manner. And the attacks that I got, I mean, really quite hardcore attacks. And now I respect the attacks from a lot of proper academic feminists and so on. I was like, I was going to get him on to ridicule and to show him for what he was. But the attacks were like, I can't believe you're digging in, that you're backing.
Giving him airtime.
Yeah, giving him airtime, promoting him. It's like, no, the idea is that we sink him. Yeah, no,
yeah,
sink him totally. And of course, he's sunk without a trace now. And I think he's back
in
Canada. I think I want to say he's from there. But it, and I looked at his website and stuff. No, and it was just, it was awful. And I really wanted to get that out there to, and also to sort of push it towards Colombians and say, don't allow this to happen.
You
know, try and work together to ensure that we can create sort of a different, I would say, I don't know, an economic model that doesn't have to move towards this, you know. So I'm getting deeper things here about the society and so on, and just got to be careful. But I really, and I, it's like, I'm not backing down on this. My, this is, you know, my show. I'm going to show him for what he is. It's just not publicity in that respect. But anyway,
and so you didn't have him on in the end.
Oh, well, no, it wasn't a question of that. He just disappeared. I mean, it obviously got too hot for him here, and he was expelled, I think, from the country. So
yeah,
still might, you know, sort of chase him up, but I doubt he'll respond.
Do you think Colombians love controversy?
I love, are they not a doubt about it, and melodrama.
Now someone said to me, if it's a it's like a telenovela here, it's like everything, which I mean, at least it's never boring. I mean, that's the thing about Colombia, it is never boring.
It's never,
you know, it's often over the top or dramatic, but you know, I think the reason I came here was that I was bored in Australia. So I came. Well, this, I definitely ended up.
You know, we go through these periods right now of great uncertainty and challenging times. And I wonder, would I be better for my family elsewhere? And obviously I look at the UK and it's like, no.
Not the UK.
But at the same time, you think, well, the stability and so on. And I'm like, I would be so bored. I would
be so bored. That's why you're here. That's why you're in Colombia. That's why I'm in Colombia. It's got something special. It's like you're saying, it's, there's some craziness about it, but it's an incredibly special place. And I can't see myself in the near future anyway, wanting to be anywhere else. I just have found such connection with people here that I haven't had in any other country. And I think that Colombians love talking. They will talk to you about anything and everything. And they're not boring people. The Colombians are never boring.
I think
so.
Would you describe yourself then? Because I've been described as this now, because I'm in my 40s, so I'm not, you know, I'm not jumping off cliffs on bungee stuff. But I've been described as a non-conventional thrill seeker.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm definitely not into parasailing, bungee jumping, but that controversy, I guess it did give me a bit of a rush, and it was unexpected. I didn't expect it, but it was like, wow, if that's what being an artist in Colombia is, then, you know, like it's not boring. And I thought, you know, I'd happily not have one of those every day, but you know, I'll take those moments for all the, you know, the amazing stuff.
Well, I also want to make reference at this moment to a countryman of yours, Lachlan Page, who wrote a book called Magical Disinformation. It's out in Australia, it's out online and so on. And he talks about the politics. He lived here for many years, got married to a Colombian. He's now back in Australia. But he's taken what essentially are real political events that have got taken place in the last few years and made them fiction. And you're just like, it is bizarre, isn't it? It's never boring. And it's a fun read. You can read it in
I'll have to read that.
I had him on just before the end of last year talking about it. And it's fun. I would recommend it in that respect, because as you don't get so involved in the politics, you could read it, enjoy it, thinking this
is a story.
But at the same time, almost every item of political item that he mentions is actually based on a
real. Is actually real. So, yeah, and look, I think that I'm almost more interested in Colombian politics than Australian politics.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, like when I was in Australia, it's something about being in your own country, so it's, you're just eye-rolling about everything. Yeah. It's that. Whereas in Colombia, if you're Colombian, I'm sure everyone's political here in one way, but just, you know, little things like the, you know, yeah, all the things that I've been learning about that people have been telling me about the president or been telling me about the previous presidents or previous candidates or whatever. It's like a movie, isn't it? It's like one long one movie.
It's so unreal. I mean, some and the most recent was, of course, the Duque doing his economía naranja with orange juice and water, and you're just like,
I saw that.
He's the premier of this country, and he's giving a chat explaining. I mean, I'm expecting him to sing live on TV next. I'm expecting him to get up, which is what an Ecuadorian president many, many years ago did as well. He was being criticized for something. He started singing. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. You'll be here long enough and you'll have to get involved in politics. I sort of made a promise to myself for many years to get involved, but then there came a time where I just couldn't.
Plus you're British. I think British people are instinctively drawn to politics.
I think so. There's something. We like being miserable.
you're drawn to miserable subjects. Well, I think it's whereas Australians, it's like... Yeah. There is a degree of Australians that are, but Australians are more about, you know, having a good time and that kind of stuff.
I like bleak movies, you know, with bleak movies with austere soundtracks and grey skies.
You're British. Tick. Tick. Obviously, like a lot of my heritage is British, so I've got there's an element of that in me, but... I definitely feel atypically Australian in many ways. Like I don't drink and I love dancing and, you know, Australian men in general are the most dance heavy kind of people. They're very stiff kind of macho and everyone drinks. So it's been cool to come here and almost be the truest version of myself that I've ever been in another country. And then to see that people are, embracing that, it's an amazing feeling to have at the age of 39 when you're much more comfortable with yourself than you are when you're 20. So
with that in mind, I'm expecting you to draw next a parody or the real thing, observations of expat immigrants in Colombia.
Actually, what I'm going to do
with a cloud over my head.
Yeah, cloud overhead, exactly. I'm actually going to do an A to Z of Australian things because I think a lot of Colombians don't know a lot about Australia, and other than kangaroos and koalas and Vegemite. So I'm going to do an Australian A to Z, and hopefully that sheds some light on the little foods and bands and, you know, people, in excess, and, you know, like they didn't realize certain things were Australian, so...
All right. Well, excellent. Well, let me take this moment and say thank you. I mean, we're coming to an end here. People can check your stuff out on Instagram. It's what? Eddie White Jr.
JR. Yep. Eddie White Jr.
Where else have we got stuff? Instagram stories, you're doing things.
Instagram stories. I'm doing a lot of I do a lot of interaction where I sort of ask a question and I say, look, what's the typical Colombian breakfasts? And they say everything they eat for breakfast. And then I'll go and draw the breakfast foods of Colombia tomorrow. So hopefully tomorrow when I launch the taste of the Colombian breakfast, which I think will be a popular one because Colombians love their breakfast. So that'll be fascinating. It was so different to Australian breakfast. I mean, I couldn't believe how different it was.
Well, have you tried the changua?
I do not dare because I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah, don't.
You'd
be, it might actually kill you.
Death by changua. Changua.
Milk.
Yeah, I haven't tried that, but I've tried. What else did I try? I tried masato, which I hated. which I really didn't have the taste for. But, you know, there's many things that taste good here, of course. Yes, but yes, masato wasn't one for me.
Quickly back up on that one. Quickly, quickly.
Yeah. Chopo ramo, te amo.
Very good. Well, listen, Eddie, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully when things are a bit more normal, our paths will cross in person and I can invite
for sure.
you for coffee. We can chat again. And I wish you all the best at controversy or no controversy. It's been fun. This has been a good
conversation. Yeah, for sure.
And I think a book is going to be, I think, is forthcoming. I think so.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know when, but there's a story developing. Oh, that's for sure.
So this is, I've been talking to Eddie White Jr., the artist from Australia, who's courted some controversy, but also gained a whole lot of followers and support for his art. Described as pop art by himself, he's done the A to Z to Colombia, and he's done sort of drawings of paisas, rolas, and so much else, and all the fruit and foods and regions and maps. I mean, he's covered just about everything. So you check out his stuff, Eddie White Jr., that's JR, on Instagram stories, etc. But he's going to be around for a while. He's got a business visa, so I don't think he's going anywhere just yet.
No.
Of course, this has been episode 363 of the Columbia Calling podcast. Feel free to back us on Patreon for as little as $2 a month to keep us going. And thank you for listening. This has been a really fun conversation. And so we're signing off for this week. Next week, we'll be taking on another topic Columbia related. And we've got a fair few people in the pipeline for the future. So thank you again. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for having me.
Most welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.